Now, we have imported a very important person tonight. None of you know. Well, maybe one or two of you know. Is there anybody here that knows Lindy? Lindy's going to share her thoughts with us tonight. I never want to find out.
We sing, "You're an angel, I'm an angel, we're angels." We sing, "Happy days are here again." Bon Jovi sings, "I don't want to be another wave in the ocean. I am a rock, not just another grain of sand."
Well,
Bon Jovi wants to be individual, unique, special. Now, imagine a sea cucumber on the ocean floor and a swordfish jumping high above the surf and the waves. Which one's the rock and which one's the grain of sand? How do we know if we're a rock or a grain of sand? How do we know if we're a sea cucumber or a swordfish? Well, probably we aren't one of those, but we could be if we were in a different lifetime, this one. Self-awareness is a topic that Millie has used a lot in the last few weeks and that have come up in circles in the last few days, I guess. Who are we? And how do we find out? Well, it turns out there's a WikiHow. Do you believe that? There's Wikipedia, WikiHow. How to know thyself. In 10, not so easy, ponders. It says here that truth mirrors reality, and it logically follows that the best way to decipher the truth about yourself is by personally observing and experience the reality of which you are a part. In other words, look around you, and that tells you who you are. Or does it? Nine steps to ponder. Ponder the concept of the universe. That's really going to tell me who I am, because I'm so important a cog in the universe that pondering the universe is going to make all the difference in the world. Not. Ponder the planet Earth in relation to the universe. Well, the planet Earth is a little smaller than the entire universe, and that makes it a little easier to ponder, but it's still not helping me with who I am. Ponder the necessity of the existence of your biological parents to your personal existence. That's kind of a chicken and an egg. If you were the egg, then there had to be chickens before you. But even though it's now at least got me in the equation, my pondering isn't taking me very far. Ponder the relationship between your body and mind and the continual interaction between them. Well, I can ponder my body pretty easily. I'd like to ponder it into pulp. But that wouldn't be reality, that would be pulp fiction. Ponder the significance of your natural mental and physical reflexes. So now we're down to pure reflex. Our body and our mind are supposed to talk to each other, and then we're supposed to care more about our reflexes than we do about what our body and mind have to say to each other. Ponder your freedom to make personal decisions within the realm of possibility. That eliminates all the personal decisions I'd want to make because they're not in the realm of possibility. Like Hugh Jackman walking in that door. It's something that I would like to make a personal decision based on that, but it's not within the realm of possibility. Ponder your astute linguistic abilities as a sentient member of the human race. There are some fundamental underlying assumptions made in this pondering article. One is that we have freedom to make decisions. One is that we have a mind and a body. One is that we have astute linguistic abilities and that there are sentient members of the human race. I'm not sure. But it does say under that particular topic, and this was very interesting to me, as a sentient being, each person has an awareness of his or her existence and has an awareness of the existence of his or her awareness. We know that we know. We're aware of our existence, and because we're aware of our existence, we're aware of our awareness of the existence. Wait till I get to ontology. Okay. Ponder your innate desire for superiority. Everyone has an innate desire for superiority, it says here. Each person has his or her own unique repertoire of gifts, talents, skills, qualities, abilities, and interests on which to build high self-esteem for a higher potential of success in activities and relationships. With regard to competing for a romantic partner, it is quite obvious that if another person is more... More what? We don't know.
Good answer.
That is the answer. Let's just not compete for romantic possibilities. Okay. And ponder your natural aversion to ignorance and your natural curiosity about reality. How many of us have an aversion to ignorance? How many of us have a natural curiosity about reality? That's about even. You have one or the other, but not both. I'm just speculating. Mary, I didn't do an exact count. Okay, so here's some tips to follow the WikiHow, how to become self-aware. Ask yourself, what is your presence here the result of, really? My mom and dad meeting in a bar? God deciding I got to come down so that I could be a part of the Fraternal Spiritualist Church? What is my presence here the result of, really? What will be the result of my presence here now that I am here, really? Aspire to grow physically and mentally, so at least perhaps impress yourself, even if others decline to acknowledge your existence. Never mind. There are some warnings that go with these tips and tricks and ponders. Never underestimate the importance of thoroughly contemplating the human condition. If you do, you might miss out on great opportunities, or you might encounter hardship which you may have otherwise been able to avoid. Number two, do not allow the burden of your whole life to rest on you all at once. Now that is useful. Never allow the burden of your whole life to rest on you all at once. Good golly, that's revelatory. Who's stupid enough to let the burden of their whole life rest on them at once? Well, most of us probably, but we eschew ignorance, remember, so it's okay. It is wise to have a plan for your life based on realistic possibilities, to execute with precision and focus, to guard against your most precious resource of time being wasted. Compound sentence, grammar flunked. Related WikiHows, by the way, are how to become a philosopher, how to express your feelings on philosophy. Don't tempt me. How to become an academic philosopher, how to write a philosophy paper, how to be a good person, how to become a hobo. I'm not making this up. Okay, so what we've discovered is that if we ponder the universe, the earth in relation to the universe, ourselves in relation to the earth, ourselves in relation to our parents, ourselves in relation to ignorance and communication, we haven't learned who we are. But there are some self-referencing sentences that help us, like, I'm the humblest person I know. Thank you, Sherry. I used to think I was indecisive, but now I'm not so sure. The workshop on procrastination has been canceled because no one got around to enrolling. The technical term for being unable to remember the word you want is. I can be spontaneous. I just have to have more time to prepare for it. And I am not in denial. Don't procrastinate. Put it off now. And from Monty Python's Life of Brian, repeat after me. We are all individuals. Oxymoron, all individuals. And Tony Blair may have said, I never make predictions, I never have, and I never will. Just a few thoughts on that. So, where does that leave us? It leaves us with one way of finding out more about ourselves. It's called the essence conversation. And I came across the essence conversation when Denise Yamada spoke at the Swedenborgian Church on a Wednesday night, just like this one, several years back, though, because it was at the Swedenborgian Church. And I was surfing the net looking for self-awareness and self-knowledge, and I came across a TED conversation. Many of you know the network TED. It has very uplifting and enlightening speeches and information. This conversation was over, but the leader of the conversation had left a few notes behind, and it says, we have discussed mind, free will, religion, and oh so many other topics, but what is your essence? What makes you uniquely you? And then they ask some questions much more worthy of pondering than the ones we have just seen, in my view. Is it personality, character, intelligence, appearance, education, career, being a parent or child? What makes you you? Is it our body and mind, our soul, our heart, our consciousness, our language, our thoughts, our deeds, our actions, the innate goodness that's in each of us, the sum of all of our parts? What makes us each individuals? And I read somewhere, but I can't find it, that if we take our body and its parts that make us human beings, the body falls away when we cross over. The mind falls away when we cross over. The soul stays with us. The heart stays with us, metaphorically at least. So are we really our mind, our body, or are we our heart and soul? Or are we all of the above? There's a movie called 21 Grams that speculates that after death, if you weighed the body before death and the after death, there would be 21 grams of difference, and that is the spark of life that leaves us from the physical body and takes us into the body of light. Maybe. Oscar Wilde said, be yourself, everyone else is already taken. So at least we have a guideline for how do we live when we figure out who it is we are. We just be that. Then there's this word ontological, of or relating to ontology. That's useful. Of or relating to essence or the nature of being. That's interesting but not too meaningful. Get this, of or relating to the argument for the existence of God, holding that the existence of the concept of God entails the existence of God. If we wonder, is there a God, we are by nature of ontology saying there is a God, or we wouldn't be wondering. What's that got to do with who am I or who are you? I don't know, but the people who teach or coach using an ontological framework are all about essence, because ontology is the essence of, or the nature of being, the essence of being, or the nature of being. I found a couple of websites for coaches in ontological concepts. One is named Harold Federson, and he says, the most basic paradigm that we work from is that you are whole and complete, you are not broken or in need of fixing. At your root, you are your essence, which is your God nature, your true nature, your God part. He He says, from essence, you're not strangled by your self-doubt, feeling of not being good enough, or whatever else other disempowering beliefs or comments run through your head. When living from your essence, you can see how anything is possible, even Hugh Jackman walking through that door. Because we live in a world of possibility. And creation and manifestation, all characteristics of our essence. If you aren't happy with the world you're living in, you can change it, starting today. You can accept your essence after you identify it. We can choose who we are in the world because our default setting is to come from reaction, fear, or control. If we flip the default switch off and flip on the choice switch, we choose essence. Essence shuts down negative self-talk, fear, and doubt. Then there's this thing called the essence conversation. Let me run this by you. You're a sea creature. You define yourself as steady, peaceful, calm, and dependable. You're a sea creature and you define yourself as exhilaration, thrill, flying, and spontaneous. Obviously, we're talking about two different sea creatures. One is a sea cucumber, and the other is a swordfish. Now, which one do you think is which? Is there any doubt in anyone's mind which is which? Not in mine either. That's how those sea creatures define themselves, and they are their essence. So we're asked to define ourselves similarly. If I said this person is defined by themselves and their sources of input as joy, a source of or cause of keen pleasure or delight, presence, the state of or fact of being present as with others, stately or distinguished bearing, the impressive manner or appearance of a person, purpose, a person's sense of resolve or determination, magnet, a person or thing that has a powerful attraction, and goddess, a woman whose great charm and beauty arouses adoration. If you heard someone who defined themselves or was defined by others as joy, presence, purpose, magnet, and goddess, would you want to know that person? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would. Yeah. I would too. Guess what? We have all of that in us. We just haven't identified it, named it, and made it public knowledge. There are some problems with living in essence. It strips you naked of your most armor and puts you in a place of great vulnerability. Problem number one. That's why most of us don't go there. It strips us naked and leaves us vulnerable. Because if we accept our magnificence, our joy, our presence, our purpose, our magnet, our goddess, whatever our words are, then it's pretty scary. There are people in your life who will reject you from essence because they're attached to the image of who you are. Image of who you are, not who you are. And the image of who you are is sometimes downtrodden, fearful, doubtful, full of negative self-talk. Full of negative self-talk that's fed to you by some of these individuals who will disown you when you become living from essence. So why do we care? What's so important about knowing who we are in our essence? Well, one thing I found was an article that says, illness and disease can often be resolved by the actions you can take, but that will quickly heal you and get you back to being well. The reason that people are ill or diseased is usually one of these four. There's something blocked in communication, something you need to say to someone and haven't said. It's just like throwing up. It doesn't feel good until you do it. But the person you need to confront doesn't feel safe to you, and you avoid it. You get sick. It's a derailed dream. If you're not acting on something you are committed to, you will get sick. Make a plan, call someone and share, or get back on track. create a vision, get in some action, take the first step. Once you're on track to realize your dream, you should get better soon. It's too much possibility. The world is too big of an oyster for you to be able to swallow in one bite. Too many new and supportive relationships, too many miracles, too much synchronicity. In other words, you're going to sabotage yourself because everything is going too well. You get sick. And or, finally, a fourth cause for illness, you're sick of it. If you've been creating, tolerating, and suffering something for a while, you can get sick. If you've been settling or in a state of survival, you can simply break down because you're sick of it. The simple solution is to get responsible, get in action, and shift it. Makes a powerful difference. That's from a coach called Hans Phillips. There are exercises in church health, self-awareness, and the Bible where they tell the story of an individual who came into the church, didn't like it, but stayed anyway, and found that it didn't get better. So they related their findings, their opinions to the church, and the church said, "I'm sorry, thank you very much, and goodbye." Well, that's not a healthy response. The healthy response would be to say, "What are we doing wrong as a church that caused them not to like it when they came in and caused them not to like it after they'd been here a while? Doesn't it make more sense to try and fix something than to just allow it to go on being broken?" Answer in the affirmative. Self-awareness is an important foundation for good health in churches and organizations and families, as well as it is for individuals. Can we think of an instance in our own experience where a lack of self-awareness prevented us from effectiveness? Where our way of being put off somebody else, and we knew that it would if we'd thought about it? Where we were argumentative with someone who had power to make a decision that would be in our favor if we didn't browbeat them, and we knew we were argumentative by nature? There's all kinds of possibilities for self-awareness working in our lives. But what I want to do tonight, in the remaining time that I have, as much as I want, is do two things. One, call your attention to where self-awareness is described in the Bible, and two, have a little essence conversation of our own. In Corinthians, it looks forward to a time when our knowledge of ourselves in relation to God is as clear as God's knowledge of us. That's through glass darkly. Now we see things imperfectly as in a poor mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me now. If we can learn to see ourselves as God sees us, we can learn to know ourselves as God knows us. And in Mark, the story of the rich young man who was just starting out, and he said, "Jesus, what do I do to get an eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? Only God is truly good. But as for your question, you know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, etc., etc." "Teacher," the man said, "I've obeyed all these commandments since I was a child." Jesus felt genuine love for this man as he looked at him. "You lack only one thing," he told him. "Go and sell all you have and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the young man's face fell, and he went sadly away because he had too many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for rich people to get into the kingdom of heaven." Sometimes, like the Buddha, like other people in the history of religion, people have to give up all they have in order to get to where they want to get to. Sometimes that's the hardest thing we can ask of ourselves. That takes me back to the story of the woman who had a precious stone in her bag, and a man saw it in their bag while he was washing clothes next to her on the river. And he said, "May I have that stone?" And she said, "Yes." And he took it and left. And he thought he'd really put one over on her, that she didn't know how precious it was. But the next day or two, he came back to her and he said, "I want to trade my stone for that which is more valuable even than this stone." And she said, "What is that?" And he said, "Your willingness to give it to me in the first place." We have to be willing to give away what we value in order to become who we are. Sometimes. Just a food for thought. And a mini essence conversation. Think of a word that describes you in your mind's eye. Just one adjective or noun. I'm going to pick radiance. You can use it too, but what I came away from Denise Yamada's talk with was radiance, because that's a part of her essence conversation. Does everybody have a word? Okay, now ask the person next to you to give you a word about yourself, and you give them a word about them.
What do we think about them?
Ask them. He doesn't know you very well.
Yeah.
20 minutes doesn't constitute a relationship. But he knows something about you from watching your interaction with us and from sitting next to you.
Okay.
So ask him if he could give you a word that describes you.
Willing to help.
Okay, willing. Okay, now you give him a word about him. Yeah.
Open.
Okay, he's open. Okay, so now each of you has two words, one that you gave yourself and one that someone else gave you. Mm-hmm. Is that true of everybody in here? Mm-hmm. You did it while we were talking? I'm going to give Millie the word magic. Or miracle, either one. She can have either one she wants. Okay, so you go out in the world and you ask all your friends and neighbors and coworkers and church family and gas station attendants and get words from everybody you can think of. And then choose the five that resonate with you as to who you are or who you want to be or who you think God sees you as. Like joy, presence, purpose, et cetera, et cetera. I can't remember the other two. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you see any value in this technique? Well, I do, and that's why I'm talking about it tonight. So what I want to leave you with is that we can grow in commitment to know and love the truth. Sometimes that means facing truth that is difficult for us to know and love. We can graciously invite and receive feedback from others. We can give feedback to others graciously. There's a technique for feedback that's a different talk, but suffice it to say it's not criticism. It's like an Oreo cookie. If you have three things to say and two of them are bad, find another good thing and put the two good things on the outside of the two bad things. We can help others to receive the truth in a caring environment. We can make it safe for people to be around us. And when all else fails, we can be a rock, not just another grain of sand. I don't want to be another wave in the ocean. I am a rock, not just another grain of sand. And thank you for giving me this time.